that's what happens. You know, you the PI is sitting in the back PSU hall. she's taking all the hard questions. The guy who prepared the presentation is not coming, so they dump it on the guy from Scotland. So. So we looked at the challenges in meeting the healthcare needs of homeless adults with physical disabilities to receive Medicaid, and this is the work. I mean, thanks for the introduction, by the way, and we heard already who were the main co-authors, the main suspects in this in this study. We don't, like anybody else, we don't have anything, unfortunately, to disclose. And this presentation pretty much links to what we heard, actually, in the, very much to what we heard in the first population. A little bit of the background, and I just run through it quite quickly because I think this audience is quite familiar with some of this background. 1/3 of the homeless adults are chronically homeless. A prolonged exposure to poor conditions associated with homelessness and poor access to healthcare services elevates the risk for adverse health conditions and disabilities, and several studies have looked into that. At the same time, when we're moving away, and I think both Pei Xu, who's here, and Matt and myself, we're coming to this topic probably more from a disability angle than a homelessness angle, and we've done quite a bit of work around disability issues. So if we're looking at the non-homeless adults with disabilities, we know that they're more likely to be unemployed, have lower household income, and face barriers towards accessing healthcare in the first place. And that in turn, of course, increases also the risk of becoming ultimately homeless. People with disability may have considerable health service needs, such as ongoing need for allied health services, such as physical therapy. They also might rely on regular prescriptions, medical prescriptions, and also durable medical equipment. Meeting these needs is essential so that they stay healthy and also maintain an independent life. And without sufficient access to all these services, healthcare services and access to durable medical equipment, assistive technology, and so on, homeless adults with disabilities may be unable to break out of this cycle of chronic homelessness. Now, the state of Medicaid, many of the homeless adults, and we heard that repeatedly, I think, in the presentations before this one, rely on Medicaid for accessing any kind of health services. The potential challenges involved in that that face homeless adults with disabilities and using Medicaid. So it's a lengthy and often time-consuming or confusing application process. The lack of a permanent address may create a problem during annual eligibility review and renewal. There's a limitation of coverage, and I just talked about, you know, the range of issues and healthcare and assistive device and support issues that are involved. So there are limitations of coverage, not everything might be covered. And in most states, childless adults are only able to access Medicaid after the onset of disability through SSI. And also, I think, and it's currently discussion, and Pei Xu probably knows a bit more about this because I'm not in the country anymore, but starting January 2014, Medicaid will expand to include all single individuals at or below 138%. But it's uncertain, you know, what challenges will persist. So what did we do? We conducted, and I can really, this is almost like the royal we, because it's mostly Pei Xu, actually, who and Matt, who's done the hands-on work on the streets of Washington, D.C. and the shelters. Done structured interviews with working-age homeless adults with physical disabilities who received D.C. Medicaid. Or had no insurance at the time of questioning and who resided in a shelter. And as you can see, this is already dating back to 2004, 2005, 2006. The way we looked at disability was a self-reported, self-identified condition that was described as disability. Participants had to rely on the use of an assistive device, so we primarily looked at mobility impairments. So they either used a wheelchair, a walker, or a cane in order to be eligible for the study. received IRB approval through the MedStar Health IRB in Washington, D.C. And in this presentation, we look at the just the subset that had really Medicaid coverage or reported Medicaid coverage. So a relatively small sample of 59 individuals. And self-reported data included health status level, physical functioning, healthcare service needs, and barriers to services that people reported as needing. And we, due to the small sample size, we limited our analysis to description bivariate analyses, and we contextualized to a degree in the changes that are proposed to Medicaid. A little bit about the demographics. As we heard from some of the preceding speakers, it was a fairly male-dominant sample. The average age was 52 years, but with quite a range from 25 through 64. So remember, these are working-age adults that we looked at. By far, the largest ethnic and racial category was Black African American, self-identified again. And 88% said they were currently not married, and 80% had were high school graduates, and 36% had at least some college education. So, in terms of the primary physical disabilities that people describe, you will see immediately that the other category is quite large. You know, and it's a quite a diverse category that included some of the chronic conditions that we already talked about or heard about in the first presentation, such including diabetes, respiratory disease, and others. So paralysis and spinal cord injury, paralysis mostly as a result of stroke was the largest subset of the ones that didn't fall into the other category. But a meaningful aggregation of the others was not didn't seem feasible. The assistive device used, majority used a cane, and 10% used a power wheelchair or a walker, and 7% used a manual wheelchair. Now, in terms of, we were interested in looking at self-reported health and functioning, and we're just listing here the five concurrent comorbid conditions that people identified. 71% said high blood pressure, 64% identified arthritis as an issue for them, 54% depression, 37% high cholesterol, 32% diabetes. Again, diabetes also in Washington, D.C., not on top three, but number five. In terms of level of functioning, participants reported at least some difficulty performing the following activities of daily living, tasks such as 93% reported having difficulties going out, 86% getting around inside the shelter, and 71% had issues associated with bathing, toileting, getting in and out of bed, and so on. Now, we asked them to what extent their support needs have been met, their functional needs have been met, and you will see from the red bar that actually the majority of them said across the board that they felt their basic functional support needs, assistive needs, have been met. However, probably the largest group the largest proportion of unmet needs you can find in terms of dressing, finding support, and getting dressed in the morning in the shelter of 32%. Those who reported some problems with ADL assistance or activities of daily living assistance said the following things were mostly lacking: the lack of bathroom-related assistance. There were some structural measures such as grab bars were not available where they needed them, or there was perhaps one accessible shower in a large DC shelter, but I think from what I recall is, you know, that was often out of service and was not repaired, so accessible showers were not were missing. A bath stool was missing for sitting down. And when wheelchair, when equipment broke down, there was a very little support in getting it actually it fixed, get it repaired. Wheelchairs, walkers were often in a disarray for weeks. And more importantly, I think also the result of Medicaid regulations. Many of the respondents who suggested they didn't get the right support in terms of inappropriate equipment felt that the wheelchairs that they used were not the right ones. You know, and separate studies not related to homelessness, we could show actually that prolonged use of inappropriate wheelchairs, you know, could lead to shoulder impact, has a negative impact on shoulders and increase reliance on downstream services, including hospitalizations, surgery, and then ultimately a much costlier service such as power wheelchair, which Medicaid wants to avoid in the first place, you know, that provision. So that it builds up the bill. Anyway, so the equipment that people had actually were often also makeshift equipment, things that they found, you know, things that they traded. And what was particularly difficult is to find reliable personal assistance. You know, we heard reports that people refused to come down the shelter to provide personal assistance services. Even if someone came down occasionally, there was no continuity. You know, that was a one-off, and there was not the regularity that people required. What are the reported health service needs among these 59 individuals? The majority relied on medications, prescription drugs, and regular refills. Case management is something that 71% said they really wanted someone really to coordinate their services, their care.
These are unmet needs?
No, these are reported health service needs, and we're coming to the unmet in a moment. 61 said specialist services, that includes to have access to specialist healthcare professionals, medical equipment 61%, physical therapy and so on 58%, and mental health service 48%. Now, how many are met? We can see again a fairly well mixed picture. I think in terms of case management, we see that 50% of the needs have been reported as being met, but 50% have provided that we can assume that people understand what we mean by case management. You know, that's another issue. In terms of medical equipment, we already said, we talked about that, and physical therapy, those are other major areas where there's a relatively high proportion of reported unmet health service need. Now, what were some of the barriers that people said? In terms of prescription refills, unsurprisingly, the lack of money for co-pays. And then for a range of these services, transportation, of course, is an issue. You know, getting to the pharmacy, some lost the prescription. We heard anecdotes of sometimes if it's, for instance, pain medication, you know, that they got on prescription, it got stolen, you know, or it got traded. And so there was no continuity of having access to that prescription. In terms of case management, people reported it was really difficult to get in touch with an appropriate case manager. Case managers felt overloaded and said, well, no time. Uncertainty how to find one, how to identify a case manager who's appropriate to help them coordinate their services. Physical therapy, similar to prescription refills, inability to reach facility or getting there, you know, transportation again, tendency as a result to miss appointments, and the regularity of physical therapy may stand in the way in terms of committing to that. New medical equipment, lengthy process with Medicaid to apply for that. Coverage limitations, I think around 5 years. You're eligible after 5 years to apply for a new wheelchair, for instance. High rates of hospitalizations, unsurprisingly, 69% reported an overnight stay in the hospital during the preceding 12 months. 74% reported having been admitted to the emergency room in the preceding 12 months. And that shows actually, in conclusion, that we see not throughout the board. I mean, we see a pretty mixed message there, but inadequate ADL assistance may compromise health status. There's maybe a lack of awareness of what is available. There are Medicaid coverage limitations. I mentioned the five-year rule, you know, 5 years you can get a new wheelchair. Receiving personal assistance services in a continued and reliable fashion in a shelter is a challenge. Particular issues around case management and durable medical equipment are issues for people residing in these shelters. And as a result, many homeless adults might, as a lack of this continuity of access to these services, might resort to seeking emergency services. So we don't know what the Medicaid expansion will bring, resulting from the healthcare reform that's currently initiated, and it will increase to health services. That's what we can hope for, but important gaps may still exist in terms of coverage, and the reform efforts may not address all the challenges and health service needs that face those currently in Medicaid, and increased access to services may not be enough to eliminate chronic homelessness, of course. So just to acknowledge the limitations, similar to some of the limitations that we heard from other studies, a convenient sample, you know, surprisingly for this population, I think, findings are thus not generalizable. It's a very small subset. And of course, we have self-report survey method. Thank you, and I direct your attention to Matt.
Thank you.